Jim Fenerty was the last to speak at the October teach-in sponsored by the National Lawyers Guild titled Activists, Know Your Rights. Fenerty is a past president of the Chicago chapter of the National Lawyers Guild. He has been a practicing lawyer in Chicago for over 30 years. He was admitted to the federal bar and therefore represents people under subpoena to a federal grand jury or under investigation by the FBI. Before his talk, Jim Fenerty revealed a large notepad where his advice was captured in a single word.
Okay. Can we move? Can everybody see that? You can if you want to. Can everybody see that?
No.
I want everybody to say that right now.
No.
And don't forget that, because I have been known very, very sophisticated people who, when the FBI comes knocking on their door, can't say this word. They can't say it. And these are really people, bright, smart people. And when they come to the door, they're just so afraid and so intimidated, they can't say no. So all you have to remember, I've been preaching this for 30-some years, all you have to say is, no, I don't want to talk to you. Go away! And they're supposed to go away. But people can't say this word. They cannot say this word. And it's very, very important. And, you know, they are very sophisticated and very slick and very sweet and nice. And they want to say, look, we're just here. We're not concerned about you. We're concerned about your protection. Or we're concerned about something may happen to you or your community. And that's why we're here. And that's what they tell you why they want to talk to you. You know, they don't say, we're here to get information on you or your friends. We're here to protect you. And the other thing, too, you have to remember is that once they come, more dance music. The other thing you have to remember, too, is that when they come to knocking on your door, you know, they probably know more about you than you know about yourself. You know, because they have done their homework. And when they're coming knocking on your door, they have done the homework. They checked your background. They know who your friends are. They know who you associate with. Everything about you. Stuff that you have long forgotten about. They know about. And so you cannot talk to these people. And the other thing, they come with what I call a proofer. In other words, they won't come alone. They'll have somebody else there with them. And that other person is just to say, if you said, I didn't say that, well, they got the other person there who's going to say, yes, they did, and I was there. So it's very important. Remember, no. And if you want to, you can say, you know, get their card, and tell them you'll have your lawyer call them, but you got to say no. It's very, very important. And I want to give you some examples. You know, since 9/11, way before 9/11, the Palestinian, the Arab community has really been under attack and under surveillance by the FBI and the federal government. And especially more so, the Muslim people, more so since 9/11. And I get these people, you know, people call me and say, well, the FBI is calling me up. They want to talk to me. And I always tell them, no, don't talk to them. You don't have to talk to them. But they feel they come to my office and they say, well, I don't want to, you know, them to think I'm hiding something. I feel terrible. I want to talk to them. And I say, no. But they insist on talking to them. Now, you can say, okay, go away. I'm not going to represent you. But I thought about that. And then I said to myself, well, if I were them and they were going to talk, I'd rather have me there than somebody else. So we do, and on occasions, we have set up meetings with the FBI. I make them come to my turf, on my office, and my client will sit down there. But the danger of that is that, like I said, they know more about you than you know about yourself. And the other thing, when your clients talk to you, they think something is irrelevant, and they forget to tell you. And then all of a sudden, during the interview, the FBI is asking about this thing that they never told you about. And you're going, wait a minute, what's going on here, you know? And so you got to be very, very careful. And I want to give you a recent example. I had a client come to me who was very, very religious now. But 25 years ago, he wasn't very religious. And he was involved in left organizations. And so when he came to see me, we talked, and he was talking about, well, his mosque and all this, and we, you know, and he supports the Palestinians' rights and this and that, and he's not happy with what the U.S. is doing overseas in Afghanistan, Iraq, whatever. And so what happened was that we expected, you know, they were going to talk about who goes to his mosque, which we were going to refuse to answer, and everything else, and what he's, how is he active in the community and the mosque and everything else. But all they wanted to talk about was 25 years ago, when he was considered more to be a leftist. So they wanted to know about the political organizations he went to and what meetings he went to. And did he go to such and such center? And tell us who all was at that center. Well, you know, he was freaking out when they did this, you know? So I said, come on, we're taking a break, Mr. FBI, well, both of them. I said, we'll be right back. So I went back and said, look, see what you got yourself into. This is what happens. This is why we said no. So we went back there and we told them, we're not going to answer any more questions. We're not going to give you the names of everybody you used to know. And, you know, he mentioned somebody. He did mention one person's name who was deceased. And they said, we know he's dead. You know, so they knew. They knew everything. They knew everything he did in college and where he went and everything else, where he studied. They knew all the differences between the different political groups. And so this was just a really dangerous thing. Now, from somebody who's saying that I wanted to cooperate, you know, talk to them because I got nothing to hide. Now, obviously, probably more interested now in him than they were before. Uh-huh. But this is a situation. On the other hand, I'd rather be there with him and say, okay, drag him out in the hall or my office and say, we're going to stop this now. We're not going to go on with this anymore, rather than somebody would let him go on and say, okay, tell everybody who was at your meeting or something back in, you know, 1989 or something like that. But these are real, real important things. I had another guy right after 9/11 came there, said, I insist on talking. I said, don't do it. I insist. And, you know, he tells me everything. He says, I got nothing to hide. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the conversation, they're asking questions. I said, this is right after 9/11. He said, you have a pilot's license. And he never mentioned anything about a pilot's license to me. You know, turned out for his birthday, I don't know, 10 years before 9/11, his wife had brought him like a trial membership. You could try this one flight school for one day. If you like it, you can go back. Well, he never had time to go back and do it again. He just went one time. But they knew all about this. And that was 10 years ago. So it's really important. And I just want to emphasize. And like I said, you know, the most sophisticated people, they are intimidated. They come to the door and they're knocking in your door. And you're scared. You're afraid. You're shaken. You're nervous. But you got to say no. It's just so important to remain silent and say no. Because everything, you know, people say, well, I got nothing to hide. But, you know, but what they're building things. They're using your story as a building block. And you say, oh, yes, I was with so-and-so. And then they go talk to so-and-so. And they build all these little, put all these things together. And maybe they're not going to use them now. Maybe they're not going to have an indictment tomorrow. But they're going to store that. They're going to keep that information. So in the future, if something happens, they're going to say, we know so-and-so knows so-and-so or hangs around with so-and-so or so-and-so was in such an organization. And they may, like I say, they may not use it now, but later on they may come back and use it. When things get more repressive in this country, they're going to dig that stuff out. So it's so, so important. You got to say no. I know it's hard. And you know, you may say, I can say no. But it's not easy. You've got to say no, though. I think it's really, really important to remember that. And tell your friends. Tell your friends. Don't ever talk to them. It's just so important. Anyway, I just want to, since I get to do a little cleanup, I just make a couple little tidbit things. You know, in the Red Squad case, you know, then when they went to reopen the Red Squad case, the city said, well, we're concerned about gangs, you know, and we got to share information with the suburbs, and we can't share it because the Red Squad got us all handcuffed. As soon as 9/11 happened, well, it became the magic word, terrorism, and they got what they wanted. They got what they wanted. So this little word is really dangerous because it means not only, quote, terrorists, but people who are just expressing First Amendment rights trying to change practices of our government that are wrong and illegal, but they're going to try to get you with terrorism. And this whole thing with the Patriot Act, you know, says now they can use this information that they collected with no probable cause to use against you in ordinary criminal cases. And that's really, really dangerous. And the courts has upheld that. The other thing, too, Melinda was saying about, you know, your rights and people get Miranda rights. I always tell people, look it. They always tell me the same thing. Tell me already my rights. Well, I said, look it. They only reach your rights on TV. You know, this is the real world here. This is the real world. Like Linda said, you know, you should not talk to them. If anything you say, just like the FBI, the local police, they're not your friend. They're not going to help you. You know, they're there to get you. And you may be perfectly innocent, but you can harm other people too by talking to them. And the other thing, I just want to make sure the record is clear, as we lawyers say, in terms of support in the city council, when we had city council hearings about the March 20th, 2003 demonstrations, it was Joe Moore was involved. I think Alderman Munoz, Alderman Schiller, and I think it was Billy Ocasio's committee that actually called the meeting. So there was really four aldermen involved in that case. The other thing, too, which is interesting, too, is that Janine L., also known as Janie, she had said that, you know, about mass arrest or whatever. But anyways, you know, in our class action case, some police officials are still maintaining this is not a mass arrest, which I'm just like, you know, how could this not be a mass arrest? 800 people, right, are detained or taken into custody. And so still some of the higher-ups are saying this is not a mass arrest, so we don't have to file mass arrest procedures, you know. I don't know what planet they're on, but it's just really absolutely amazing to me. But anyways, I'm going to finish. We can do questions, but remember this word, no.
No, we're not going to remember it.
That was Jim Fennerty speaking at the National Lawyers Guild teach-in titled Activists Know Your Rights, which was held at the DePaul University Law School in Chicago on October 15, 2005. After Fennerty's talk, the first questioner reiterated his advice.
It's not just a good idea. It's not we would really like it if you don't talk to the police. You are being stupid. You are insulting your own intelligence by talking to them. Now, the question for the panel is, what if I say no? I tell Mr. Nice FBI agent in the suit to go away. What can they do to me for that?
Well, and if you say no, they can't do anything to you. They can't be arrested. You can only be arrested if you talk to them and you give them information that you know is false, or in situations where you give them information and you're not really sure and you gave them false information, then you could be indicted.
And there, on the National Lawyers Guild website, there is a good pamphlet about this issue called Know Your Rights, and that's www.nlg.org. And I was just rereading it this morning, and the issue is that what Jim was saying is that you can be criminally prosecuted for lying to them. It's their job to lie to you.
Right.
So that's just an interesting take on it, because it is. And even if you don't believe that they're out to get you, their job really is to preserve the status quo and to preserve the prevailing order and the establishment which is in power now. So that's another thing to kind of keep in mind. I mean, if you say no, they can theoretically subpoena you to a grand jury to get additional information. But then you're in a process, and you have a lawyer, then you have an ability to make decisions. A lot of times they'll threaten you with that and never will follow through. So in answer to Steve's questions about what can happen.
The other thing I want to say too is, you know, like before 9/11, when I would tell people, just tell them to call me. And in like, I don't know, 25 years of practice or whatever, I only got one phone call. Because they usually didn't follow up. Once you said you had a lawyer and call my lawyer, they usually didn't, you know, call your lawyer, and they usually didn't come back to your house. But since 9/11, You know, what happens is that they say, yes, I have a lawyer. Here's my lawyer's name. And I'm getting phone calls now from the FBI saying, we want to meet with your client. So things have changed a little.
Is lying a felony?
Yes, it is.
Right. In Chicago, you can be arrested, believe it or not, for a felony disorderly conduct if you lie to the police. And I just had a client who was found guilty of that and sent to jail.
That was another excerpt of the National Lawyers Guild teach-in held October 15th. Coming up next, are you wondering why the mainstream media is obsessed with bird flu? Some indie media sites, as well as a few mainstream voices, give some clues. We're coming to you from the trenches.